Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast with me, Sam Harris, where we go deep into mindsets and success. Today, I have Ryan Gottfredson on the podcast. He's been on the show a few times, and this is the second part of my interview with him recently, where we go deeper into mindsets and neuroscience behind them. We went into some of the practices that he's been using to help his clients to really overcome their mindsets and to find the things that are holding them back and just smash through their own internal barriers. So we actually did this practice on myself as part of the show, and it went on for longer than we maybe were expecting. And we went really deep into the different things and found lots of stuff out about myself and my problems, which was a very useful process for me. But also, I think it's just interesting to show how these things work for you as the listeners, because I know you're interested in me and what I'm doing. And so I thought it'd be interesting for you all to listen to what happened and also learn like how you can coach yourselves or like coach others by using these techniques. So this is basically me being coached, and you get to see how coaching works, the problems that I personally have trying to run my business and things that I've overcome to kind of get there or need to still overcome. And considering that I run a podcast on mindsets, it's pretty interesting to see how many problems I still have. So certainly don't beat yourself up about like not starting businesses instantly or being successful like by the normal metrics straight away. It's certainly a hard process and a fun one to dig into. You certainly would think that I know what I'm doing when it comes to mindsets, but I have so many limitations and problems, which I'm always happy to share with people rather than pretending that I know everything, because I really don't. And this is just a deep dive into how I am holding myself back in many different ways. And I think it's interesting for anyone trying to start a business or move faster, because there's just so many major things that you can try and take on, but just don't, because you don't think you're able to. And this shows some of the benefits of different mindset exercises that you can use to help you. And I think it'll be useful for anyone listening, besides the fact for myself, I found it helpful and for you to know a bit more about me. And so I hope you enjoy it and get value from it. I would also add that this was recorded a few months ago, so it's not reflecting my current problems with the business right now, just in case you're an investor listening to this and thinking, oh, this guy is wondering whether to even do this. Like, I'm definitely doing it. It's definitely going well on my business side, but these are just a bit of history of what it took to get there. And I would recommend Ryan Gottfredson's website or his book on mindsets and success, which are just both really masterful places to start when digging into these things. And without further ado, let's go into the episode. Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Success isn't a goal, it's a journey. I interview the most incredible humans to keep your mind optimized for growth. Welcome to the podcast. It's my pleasure to have Ryan Gottfredson on.
Yeah, thank you so much. I feel like I've learned so much even since then about mindsets. The more and more I talk about it, the more and more I have to dive into different things and learn different things. When we start to put labels to these mindsets and we start to better understand them and how they work, it gives us the capacity to be mindful. Or in other words, step out of ourselves and look at what we typically look through. And so when we've got this fixed mindset, if that's blasting away, that isn't to say that we can't take a growth mindset towards that situation. All we've got to do is we've got to allow ourselves the ability to slow down our processing and essentially say, I want to use my growth mindset neural connection to process this information. And so when a growth mindset isn't the stronger neural connection, that isn't to say we can't use it. We've just got to be able to slow down our processing and be intentional about using it. And then we could use it to our advantage.
Less reactionary and more deliberate, and sort of like what the whole like insight meditation is kind of about. It's like to give you that sort of that pause period between something that happens that might like trigger you to be angry or like do anything that isn't beneficial, whether it's like a mindset or, well, I guess everything's sort of a mindset and all like links, and it sort of gets you like actually think about what the cause will be if you like follow that pathway and think, actually, do I need to do that? Like, why do I need to get angry if it's probably just going to piss me off? It's not going to make any difference to this person's life. So really all I'm doing is damaging myself and the people around me. Why don't I just not be angry about this thing? And I can actually maybe be a little bit happy about the fact that I'm not angry when I would normally be angry. And you can start like kind of being really cool about these things if you sort of have that pause break that it can buy you if you practice it a lot.
Yeah, there's an exercise that I've now developed that allows us to kind of pause and make some of those shifts. And so to me, that's one of the other big breakthroughs that's occurred. And we were talking a little bit prior to recording this about maybe examples of where I've seen people transform their mindsets. And as you said that, I thought it'd be really cool. Maybe we could go through this exercise here on the podcast.
Yeah, let's do it.
Would you be game?
Totally game.
Put you on the spot?
Always good for it.
Okay, so... And it's a pretty simple exercise, and there's four different steps and there's four questions. So to frame this up, I want us to think of a pyramid, and at the top is success. That's where we're shooting. But then what is the immediate driver of our success? And that's our behaviors. So our behaviors drive how successful we are. But what drives our behavior? Our thinking drives our behaviors. Behaviors drive success. But what drives our thinking is our mindset. And so what we're going to do in this exercise is we're going to start at the top of that pyramid. There's one question for each of these different levels. We're going to drill down to the mindset level. And as we get there, we'll understand what mindsets may be preventing the success that we're seeking. So you don't need to think of anything grand or big. Just what comes to mind in terms of a goal that you have for yourself that would kind of, if I accomplish this goal, I would be successful. And so this needs to be something that you're excited about. Also something that you have control of. So winning the lottery wouldn't be a good goal. So any goal come to mind?
So yeah, I'm still really bad at not eating all the time. I can't seem to just do the whole thing where like you eat at a meal and then that's it. And so that'd be something I'd like to improve. That would be success. I'd feel like a bit more of a useful human perhaps.
Gotcha. All right. So let's try to work with this. I haven't had an eating one before, so we'll try to work with this. So that's, we're defining success is, can we frame this as eating more healthy or developing healthy eating habits?
I mean, I eat really healthy, but it's just too much of the time and could be a bit more like time box. And I probably waste a lot of time being like, oh, let's go in the kitchen to get a tea, but actually I'm going to eat a carrot and then I'm going to look at the cereal. Perhaps I'm going to eat some cereal and with enough cereal, I'm going to get some like bananas. And then you're like, oh shit, why is half an hour gone? Like I have work to do.
Gotcha. So I would say that one might get a little complex. Maybe let's do something a little bit different, if that's okay. Let's do something that maybe is related to the work that you're doing. Like if you think about your business and your life journey, if I was a genie and could grant you one wish, does anything come to mind?
I'm not sure in terms of like success, what's the things holding me back? I mean, I'm kind of doing everything in to kind of make it a success, but maybe I'm not thinking about these things in the right way. But yeah, it's a bit broad level, like an app that people are downloading. I need to build it. Yeah.
Let's take your app. So success for you would be launching this app would be a success. So we're not there yet. It's something that is under your control and probably something you're pretty excited about. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the first level. We kind of define success as launching this app. Let's then the next level down. And the next question is, what are you currently doing or not doing that is preventing that from happening?
So instead of just launching, the only thing that's required is to build it. So I am also working on like getting investment and trying to get people to use it and like building sort of a team and all of these things as well. But the only thing to actually get it out there is just the writing of code and submitting it to like the Play Store and this sort of stuff. But I've been managing a team building it, but I do also code myself. So I have been kind of relying on them to do things, which has been wasting a lot of time because they sort of don't always do things as quickly as they could. And I think I need to spend a lot more time actually just doing some of the code myself because I can code and it seems like I'm actually spending enough time managing it that I could be probably spending less time managing it and more time actually doing it rather than trying to tell people to do things. So that's probably one of the things that has been limiting as a behavior that sort of started to work out and actually did some more coding today where it's like, oh, it's not too hard. If it didn't take too long, I should probably just do more of this. And then, well, there's a few things though. And then the other one is like, okay, maybe just getting someone that's really skilled and just like being willing to part with money to pay someone that's going to be good and do stuff or maybe just doing something much easier and just releasing something that's like super, super basic and just, yeah, there's a few decisions to make, but maybe we should just stick with like the, either pay someone lots of money and like not worry about it or like just do it myself.
Yeah, this is tricky. Well, you're not alone because what we're wrestling with and many managers face this is you're going from kind of independent contributor mode to manager mode, right? And there's a difference because you know you can get it done, you can do it, but that takes your time. And sometimes we revert to operating as this independent contributor because we know we could do it. We feel in control. Whereas when we have other people do it, we feel less in control. well, and things maybe don't go as quickly. But the more and more you work on your coding, and I'm not saying this is a bad thing, the more and more you do the coding, the less and less capability you have to create the framework around the launch of the app. So getting people to help with the launch, different partnerships, different people to promote it, right? So the more you code, the less you can focus on the marketing of the app, which will be instrumental for the launch of the app. So one of the things that you could do that you talked about is either hire more productive people or better coders or people that will do the job better. Also, and I'm not saying this is necessarily you, but I've worked with other managers who say, well, I may not be giving the best direction.
Yeah, I've certainly got a lot better at direction. I mean, the coders are good, but they come to like help with COVID. And so they're kind of volunteering and they're kind of doing some part-time stuff. It's not like they're working full-time every day kind of thing. And so they kind of just do like small bits, which is amazing. But then does mean that you have to like overmanage a bit more to make it really obvious. Just like, okay, I can just give you this really small thing. And if you're doing that, it's not going to block anyone else. And so it's like it's a much more heavier management process than it would be if it was just working with a few coders who are working full-time, because they can kind of just own an area and like, you don't really worry about it kind of thing. Whereas if I had my hands a bit more in the code, I can kind of like be unblocking people much faster as well as getting stuff done.
Good. So let's take out of this, and we could dive into different things, but let's take out of this. Let's focus on, in terms of not doing that is going on here, is you're not investing in coders. You're taking kind of people who are willing to do it for free. That's slowing up the process, partly because you're not paying them. So you're kind of low on their priority list. Whereas you could potentially pay somebody to come in and work a little bit more rigorously on what you're doing.
There isn't really a budget as such until we've got investment to pay someone really well, but could give them equity or maybe like a smaller amount. I could just take a loan and pay someone lots of money if I feel like I've really definitely got like an idea that's awesome and worthy of that. So it's kind of like a risk on my side. And it's not like they're low quality coders and there's not a priority at all for them. They just really, really like do believe in the idea and they kind of think it's going to help the world and they kind of want to use it. So it's not like completely bad or anything. And they're cool people. So I don't want to like downplay that effort or anything.
For sure. And I'm there with you. Just the basic idea is if we could bring in somebody that has more capacity and more bandwidth, we could get this out sooner, right? And so we're going to identify that as our not doing. So there's something that we're not doing that is preventing us from launching the app. And I think this is where most personal development programs stop, because they identify your doings that are preventing your success. And they say, well, stop doing those things. Or we'll identify our not doings and simply say, well, start doing those things. But if it were that easy, you know, people like me would be out of a job. So we've got to dig deeper within us. And so if we take this not doing of not bringing somebody on, maybe on a more formal basis, why aren't you doing that? And as I ask this question, just to speed up the process, what fears underlie bringing somebody on a more formal basis?
So I did have a CTO, but he left and I have been trying to recruit other people. But then now I think one of the things that's holding me back is it sort of feels like you're sort of at like a threshold level of if we reach this and we've got like investment, you can get someone for like, I would be giving away a lot less in terms of, okay, so I own most of the company. If I took a CTO on like now, I might have to give them like sort of 30% or something. But if I've raised investment and I've got an app out there, which might happen, I could give them like 2%. And that could be like a huge amount of difference in my life after this. But like, if I do waste too much time doing it, then maybe I have nothing because it's all like gone to poo. So it's a bit of confusion of not knowing how long it's going to take, not wanting to give things away for no reason. And also as in like the higher slow, fire fast kind of thing. And the reason first and left is because they just weren't overly amazingly thrilled by what we're doing, where the other people are. So I'd rather recruit someone who's just super excited by it, which takes time to find someone. So like some of the coders that are helping are like that, but they're busy with other things. And most people that I talk to have been like just busy with other stuff, or like they've got time, but they want like all the money because they sort of don't quite see like the long-term potential of things, because they're good coders. They're used to being paid stuff. So like my one friend who does really like building things with me, but he took an offer to work for a company for like 200 grand a year. And it's like, okay, I'm not really going to be able to match that offer right now. Do you want to work for free for 2 months? Okay, no, you don't. Well, it doesn't matter. And so yeah, it's a bit of a hard one with lots of things going on. And it's sort of like, if I was only working on just this, then yeah, I'd be talking to loads of people, but I'm trying to like do all the other things all at once. So it's kind of hard to completely solve the problem. And like maybe time will solve it as like other things comes together and stuff. So it's sort of a confusing one of, do I focus trying to fix a problem that maybe won't get solved by just focusing on it anyway because I'm wasting my time? Or is it, this is what's been going on in my head, one of the many things lately. And which one was the best? I think the food was an easier example.
Well, this is great. It's complex.
Join over 500,000 people taking charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. With BetterHelp, it's a sponsor of this podcast, and they're just really great, and hopefully it can help you with any of the problems that you have. I genuinely struggle from a diagnosed condition of needing too much adventure and thrill seeking. But during lockdown, this actually kind of came out in some weird ways. And sometimes when I'd be recording the podcast, I'd be talking to someone in the interview and I would just mute the sound on my headphones. So I'd have no idea what they were saying. And I'd just try and carry on with the interview and see if I could do it without anyone noticing. I have no idea why I did that. Yeah, there's something wrong with me. Hence why I needed counseling. BetterHelp really helped me find healthier ways to exist as a human in this crazy world. They assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. It's professional counseling done securely online with all types of counselors in different professions, and you can access it from anywhere in the world. It's really convenient. So yeah, this is a special offer for Growth Mindset Podcast listeners. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/growthmindsetpodcast.
So one of the things that this exercise does, and we could have spent some more time with question number two, but what it's designed to do is, like, so there's times in my life where I felt professionally stuck, and that could be at a small level, could be at a larger level. But when I look back on the times where I felt stuck, the tendency that I had was to blame the external factors around me. And it was always the external factors that was the problem. And so as I went from one job and I transitioned into another job, because I thought if I changed the external factors, things would get better. Well, as I did that and I transitioned into a new job and those same factors popped up, it was like, okay, here's an indication that maybe it's not the external factors that's the problem. What are the elements about yourself that are holding up the process? And so one of the points of this exercise is just to help us recognize that if we want to move forward, there's always going to be external issues, but we've got to get ourselves right. And that's really the first place to start. And so as we start to dive into some of these fears, so I've heard some fears pop up in what you've said is, I have a fear of missing out. I have a fear of different opportunities financially. I have a fear of short-term financial costs. Maybe I have a fear of taking out a loan, right? Maybe I have a fear of taking on that risk where I could pay somebody with a loan without giving them equity, because there is certain value in equity. I've got a fear of maybe just not being in complete control. So as we start to identify some of these fears, then one of the things that we're starting to get a sense of is some of our doings and not doings that are sabotaging the goals that we're seeking are driven by these underlying fears. But these fears are also causing commitment. So if we've got a commitment to protect ourselves, or if we've got a fear of missing out, we're going to develop a commitment of protecting ourselves. If we've got a fear of taking risks, then we're going to develop a commitment to play it safe. And so what we've got beneath our behavior level is this combination of fears and commitments, and also maybe even some underlying assumptions that are driving the very behaviors that are preventing us from reaching our goals. And so that's the third level. We identify our fears, commitments, and assumptions that are causing us to self-sabotage ourselves. The fourth question then is, what mindsets are driving these fears and commitments?
One is, like, yes, definitely picking up on some fears that I have. And I do think, like, people always think that I'm really risky. And I generally would say, like, as in this conversation has proven that I haven't been crazy risky, and I've already kind of got success. So I don't need a job right now. And I haven't put, like, all of my assets on the line or anything to make this company happen. But sort of people kind of look at my life story and go, oh, wow, you've started all these different things and done this crazy stuff. I'm like, well, it always felt kind of safe at the time, to be honest, and it could have actually seemed quite sensible. But anyway, another fear is kind of actually doing the coding myself, as in I probably could have started this, like, I did work on it in October. And the hardest part in terms of proving that the app would work and, like, the synchronization between people listening. And then it's just like building, like, the whole sort of full users and all this stuff. And I probably could have done it myself, but I kind of spent a long time on things that I probably didn't need to be doing. And then, so part of it is actually fear of my own capabilities and failing at this stuff, and kind of just constantly wanting to get other people to help me to do it, which I actually could have just, like, literally in a month, I probably could have built this, but I just didn't sit down and be like, and give up the other things that I was working on to just, like, focus on it. And it's a bit of a fear of failure at it and not wanting to try these things. So just one of the fears that was missing, just to sort of explain how useless a human I am a little bit more. So
one of the things that I really appreciate is your willingness to be vulnerable, because it's not easy easy for us to bring up some of these fears that in a way they just effectively handicap us, but they also make our self-sabotaging behaviors seem really sensible, right? So it's very easy for us to justify the doings and not doings that are preventing us from reaching our goal. Like, let me walk you through just really quickly another example with my daughter. So my daughter came to me, she said she wanted to learn how to ice skate. And so I took her over to the ice skating rink and she's ice skating for the first time. And she starts hugging the wall and is unwilling to come away from the wall. For the next hour and a half, we're just shuffling around the ice skating rink and she's just hugging the wall. And so if I ask her, what are you doing or not doing that's preventing you from reaching your goal of learning how to ice skate? She's going to say, I'm hugging the wall and I'm not taking risks. Well, why are you hugging the wall and not taking risks? Well, she has a fear of falling and of hurting herself. So she develops a commitment to ensuring her safety. And when she's got a commitment to ensuring her safety, holding on to the wall and not taking risk is incredibly sensible, but it's the very thing that's preventing her from reaching her success. And so we're getting at a really deep level, as I think you probably feel, but then we still can go one level further, because what is fundamentally driving these fears and commitment? And there's generally going to be a mindset that's associated with it. So in the case of my daughter, she's got what we call a prevention mindset. She's more concerned about not losing than she is about winning. And if we could help her to make that shift from a prevention mindset to a promotion mindset, she'll develop different fears and commitments that won't self-sabotage her, right? So she will then have a greater fear of not learning how to ice skate than of falling. And she'll come to realize, look, if I'm going to learn how to ice skate, I'm going to have to become willing to fall. Like, it's just the reality of the situation. But it's only until we shift at that foundational level can we get through our fears and commitments that are blocking ourselves. And so with your example, one of the things as you talked about, which is part of the vulnerability, is you feel like you could have done it, but you didn't do it, maybe out of a little bit of a fear that you might fail. And that a fear of failure is usually rooted in having more of a fixed mindset as opposed to a growth mindset. And so if we could recognize that, then that allows us the opportunity to shift our mindsets. As we shift our mindsets, we blow past the idea of who cares if I fail, right? That's kind of the growth mindset mentality, because not that we want to fail, but because we understand the benefits of failure that will enhance our ability to learn and grow. And to your point, is one of the things that you said is we maybe could have launched the app sooner or in a different way as a way to beta test this and get a proof of concept. And sometimes we're reluctant to test some unproven concepts because we're afraid of the failure that might occur. And so we double down, and that's actually maybe slowing down some of the learning and growth that can occur.
Yeah, definitely. You can be a bit more like perfectionist to want it to be perfect because you're afraid that people won't sort of instantly like it if it's not quite what it is, but then people still might not like it. And that's a big thing that holds a lot of people back on like app development and stuff. I don't feel I'm as bad as many, but I still could have done like a much worse, quicker, hack together job of it for sure in hindsight. But yeah, I do really like that example because like I've got a very good growth mindset in that sort of stuff. Because I mean, when I was skiing, I used to kind of have this rule where if I didn't fall over in like any sort of half a day, I would like force myself to do something where I'd fall over. And like I got quicker so much faster than any of my friends. Like I was like a really good skier. Just because if I had this mindset of like, if I haven't tried hard enough to the point where I've like fallen over, I just clearly haven't pushed myself and I just would just do something really difficult and like trying to do sort of tricks and things, it's where you get really good at stuff. And even if you're like skiing with people that are super slow, you can just sort of spin all the time as you're going downhill or something. And that's just like a really hard skill to like just work on. But then I haven't had that so much with in terms of like money and things. I've always had a bit more of a fixed mindset of like the prevention mindset of not wanting to lose, like which I think everyone has, and they try five times harder to not lose something than they will to try and gain stuff. And like I'm very good at sort of making money occasionally, but then I don't really spend it very fast to make it faster. And like that's the mindset I've been trying to learn and get much better at. And I think I have been improving, but I think this is showing that I could be getting better at it. But it's sort of a bit confused with the whole model of like trying to be a lean startup and show that you can do stuff with less resources and be minimal. And so there is stuff going on that I could maybe argue depending on how I'm feeling about things, but I could definitely be better at that. And same with like giving away some of your companies, and it becomes a lot more valuable if you trade a percentage for something. And even if you give away like 50% of your company, if it becomes like worth sort of 2 million, you're now like a millionaire. Yeah. As opposed to just worth nothing. And then you think like, okay, in the long term, this could be like, say, a $1 billion company. You don't want to give away 50%, but actually it might reach 2 million instead of 1 billion, even if you did it all by yourself, but you probably wouldn't even reach that anyway. And so you're always earning more when you give away some, hypothetically, but it's hard to see it like that. And so I'm trying to get better with that thinking as a mindset deep down, which is sort of not the best way. But I definitely felt like I kind of learned that when I was younger, and I was sort of much more interested interested in like getting things or like doing stuff to earn money. I just didn't really do that much with spending it, and never know, could I enjoy myself in doing these things.
I could totally relate to you because, I mean, I grew up, my father was the most frugal person I've ever met, right? So I don't feel like historically I haven't had a great relationship with money, and I think it's improving. In fact, one of the books that I've loved that has been a complete game changer around my mindset dealing with money has been Jen Sincero's book, You're a Badass at Making Money. And it's all about the mindset behind money. I'm a finance undergrad. Like, I get finance, but nobody ever talked to us about the mindset associated with money. And so to me, that book has been a really big game changer. And that has helped me shift to have more of a promotion mindset, as well as, you know, one of the mindsets that is just out there, but hasn't really been studied. But I think that there's a lot to it, is the difference between a deficit mindset and abundance mindset. And I think that that's kind of what you're talking about, is when you have a deficit mindset, you're seeing the world as a fixed pie, and your job is to capture as much of that pie as possible. But an abundance mindset is, you're not concerned about how much of the pie that you're capturing. You're concerned about growing the size of the pie so that even if you're capturing a smaller percentage, it's way more than you would ever capture with that deficit mindset mentality.
I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of absurd that you wouldn't want to be giving away some of your company. If you think like my long view of my life, as in I'm constantly having ideas and coming up with stuff. So it's not like this is going to be the rest of my life anyway. And like, I'd work for free on something that was really cool to get a good experience. So I could technically work for this company for free just to get the experience of growing something huge and give like technically all of it away. But it would set me up for success at just starting new businesses way better if I did start a company that came on to be like a sort of £1 million kind of business and stuff anyway. So it's sort of like, why am I stopping myself if I could just give away some of it right now and actually get to things much faster and actually make that thing happen, as opposed to sort of potentially preventing myself. So yeah, apparently I'm an idiot.
So the cool thing about, to me, this exercise and what I feel like I'm seeing in you is just going through the process of this exercise, what it's allowing us to do is to step outside of ourselves and look at what we typically look through. It gives us the opportunity to question some of the things that we're doing. And is this serving me well? Or is there something else, a different way of seeing the world that will serve me better and allow me to accomplish my goals in a quicker, more effective way? And so as I work with primarily business leaders and we go through this exercise, every time somebody is getting this huge breakthrough about this block that is holding them back. And then hopefully by connecting it back to their mindsets, it allows us to identify some clear steps forward that they can do to shift their mindset. So for example, we talked about, well, I've got a book for you. Jen Sincero's book, You're a Badass. Like, we could start reading that. For me, one of the things that was really helpful in shifting from a prevention mindset to a promotion mindset was this book that I use every day called The 5-Minute Journal. You look like you're looking around for your own, right?
Yeah, I bought it a while ago, but I was in Glasgow just before the COVID lockdown. So I came straight home with literally like my backpack with just my laptop in it. And so I left all of my stuff in London, but I got my flatmate to just post me that book that I'd literally only had for like a week before it happened. So I'm excited to actually start using it again today. It literally arrived like an hour before we had this call. So winning.
So every day it asks me the question, what are three things I could do today to make today great? Right in the media of the day, what that's doing is it's activating and stimulating my promotion mindset neural connection. And so as I go throughout the day, it's all about winning the day and not losing during the day. It's a small shift, but will have a huge impact on how we process information and how we operate. And so to kind of come back to something you brought up earlier is, I've been fortunate a decent amount of success with my book launch. And one of the things that I've done has been, I kind of felt like I needed to put my money where my mouth is. And I did a fairly expensive ebook marketing campaign that where we discounted the price of the ebook to 99 cents. And the guy I work with has the ability to blast this out to essentially all subscribers that are a fan of business nonfiction, which apparently their email list is like 23 million people. So if you put your book in front of 23 million people at 99 cents, you're going to sell enough copies to hit some of these big bestseller lists, which we were fortunate enough to do. And so for me, this was a stretch that I had to spend a significant amount of money to do this. But what I tried to see it is I'm buying time. Like, I could do this and I could sell 10,000 copies of the book in 1 week, or I could continue to kind of plug and grind and sell 10,000 copies of the book in the course of a year or two. So one, I feel like I'm buying time in terms of getting my book out into the world. Two, by being able to say I'm a Wall Street Journal and USA Today bestseller, hopefully what I'm also able to do is increase my speaking fees, my consulting fees, in a way that I'll build my business on a quicker basis. So I could have said, I'm going to take the prevention mindset route. It seems risky to invest a lot of money in marketing your book, but I tried to take look at it from a promotion mindset standpoint of how do I get my book out there in the fastest, most effective way so that it can impact on the world that I believe that it can have? And then what opportunities might that open up for me because of doing so? So the jury's still out. We'll see what happens, but it's been a great launch so far and feel very fortunate to have been able to hit those lists and start to see the book get out there in the world and hear people have some really positive experiences with it.
Yeah, it's awesome. I'm pleased to hear that. And it's certainly a really good book, so I would recommend it to anyone. Like, hopefully, I mean, how much is it now?
The paperback version, I think, is $17. Ebooks, 99 cents. Audiobook, depends on where you get it. If anybody's interested, go to my website. I have a bunch of freebies with it. You can go there and it'll direct you to your favorite book retailer, and then you'll get the freebies if you just go through my website. So for example, if you buy the print version of the book, then you could get the audio version for free, for example.
Oh, cool. Nice. Who reads the audio version?
I was the one who narrated it. It was a fun process, a little bit of a slog, but at the end of the day, pretty cool.
Did it change any of your actual, did you like make any edits whilst you were reading it?
Yes. What I learned is for the next book, I'm going to record the book before I submit my final edit, because there was about 10 to 20 small edits that I now wish I could go back and change in the book. We'll see if we ever get the chance to do so. It just takes a little bit of money to do.
Yeah. So that sort of when you ever like reading, you should just try reading it out loud just to sort of see how it sounds, because in your head, written is just not the same as trying to speak it. And but that matches a bit more with like how other people read it when they're reading and can make it flow a lot better. Because you kind of, I don't know, it's so easy to just double wrap your thinking, well, at least for myself, when I'm writing. And you're like, why didn't I just say the thing? As opposed to like, in the future, you may have thought about this thing that sort of the thing is like in the way of the thing. And you're like, which was the bit that was the piece that the person was supposed to understand, Sam? Why did you write that? I don't even know what I'm writing myself. And very annoying. I kind of hate my brain sometimes. Anyway, yes, read things out loud. And still, it's really cool that you got to read it out though. So
yeah,
one day I'll get to do that, I think.
You'll get there. Get this app out of the way and then you can start on the book.
Yeah. Big time. Thanks so much for the interview and everything.
Awesome. Thanks, Sam.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you have any questions, please reach out to me through the website at growthmindsetpodcast.com. I do love talking to listeners. You can support us on Patreon or by leaving a review on iTunes or telling a friend about us. But mostly, keep learning and keep growing.